The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today, we're speaking about community substance use treatment and prevention. And before I introduce my guests, I'd like to just give you some statistics about opioid-related fatalities in Ulster County. We currently, in 2017, which is the last year that we have complete data for, we unfortunately lost 43 Ulster County residents to opioid-related use, which is down from 54 in 2016, but a little bit higher than 2015. And throughout the United States, collectively, communities lost 65,000 people to opioid-related use. And so it's a very critical epidemic, and communities throughout the United States have been impacted, as has ours. And we are very fortunate today to have Tom McCary, who's Director of Substance Use Prevention at the Institute for Family Health. Tom oversees how the Institute integrates substance use screening, as well as patients' substance use and co-occurring needs into the primary care setting. Welcome, Tom. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me, Vince.
Tom, before we begin and get into the details of the discussion, can you give us an overview of the Institute for Family Health, what it is exactly, and what services it provides?
Sure. Here at the Institute for Family Health, we oversee 32 community health centers. We're a federally qualified health center, which means we see patients regardless of their ability to pay. And we our health centers are throughout New York City, and then also up here in the Mid-Hudson Valley in Ulster and Dutchess County. So our centers have primary care, behavioral health, dental, and then many also have specialty programs like healthy families, as well as case management and care navigation.
Mm-hmm. And pretty much open to anybody? No one's turned away, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. As a federally qualified health center, we work with patients regardless of their ability to pay. We have case managers who help people get insurance if they're eligible for it, and then we also develop sliding scale for people who are not eligible for insurance.
So really a great program. So there's no reason for anyone in Ulster County to go without primary care then, right? Because your organization is open to everyone, essentially.
We are. Yeah. Here in Ulster County, we have health centers down in Port Ewan, New Paltz, Kingston, and also Ellenville.
That's really great. Tom, so how does the Institute address patients who may have substance use issues?
Well, we help to address substance use issues in a number of different ways. First is really to help identify which patients may have substance use issues. And so that is through screening, through asking questions, and embedding that as part of the expectations of care that in a community health setting, we are helping to address the full needs of a patient.
Mm-hmm. And what does that screening look like?
So screenings, there are a number of different evidence-based screenings for alcohol and substance use. NIDA has a brief screening, which is intended for primary care providers to use. And within behavioral health and social work, there are screenings to assess alcohol or substance use needs. We also working, and a lot of this comes also down to educating both the providers and the patients about medications which they might be prescribed for the correct purposes, and helping to explain any risks that might come along with those medications.
Mm-hmm. And that's happening really all over, right? I mean, the CDC, we were just discussing before the show about the CDC's opioid prescribing guidelines and really working with providers to make sure that they understand, and also patients to understand, that there are safer alternatives that don't involve opioids and don't involve the risk. And there have been many studies done on that as well. So that's really terrific to hear that you're covering those bases.
Yeah, the CDC has great resources. Also, SAMHSA has a opioid overdose prevention toolkit. And the toolkit has been recently re-released. It's free and accessible, and it has great information really for everybody, from prescribers and providers to people who might identify as having substance use issues, but also family and community members. Mm-hmm. To help reduce risk of overdose and how to also respond in case of overdose.
And folks should really discuss with their providers, ask their doctors essentially about non-opioid alternatives, right? If they're experiencing like sports injury or some type of injury or a pain situation, to really explore what the alternatives are and the benefits versus the risks, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So Tom, we've heard, we know that in the past, addiction was treated with, a lot of, or at least looked upon with a lot of stigma, that, you know, that it was some kind of flaw or moral failing in a person. But we know differently, don't we?
Right. So more and more, the culture is changing towards addressing substance use issues as a chronic illness. And so other chronic illnesses are things like asthma, diabetes, hypertension. And some of the characteristics of a chronic illness is that they are issues which can be managed so that an individual has the highest level of functioning, living the most healthy life that they're accessible to, but also the understanding that this is something which is going to be needed to be addressed throughout the course of their lifetime, and that there will be likely periods of wellness, and that they will be at risk of periods of time that the illness has their symptoms again. Mm-hmm. And so addressing in that way, having within their primary care and behavioral health setting, the understanding that this is incorporated into the other medical and behavioral health issues that somebody has, even if somebody is experiencing recovery and overcoming their addiction issues, that this remains something that is discussed and help to manage within their treatment.
Mm-hmm. Which can help go a long way to helping prevent relapse, right, if a person is struggling. I mean, is it, I probably know the answer to this already, but is there a good likelihood with the right kind of treatment and follow-up that a person can beat a substance use issue?
Absolutely, right? So some of the, one of the mantras that SAMHSA promotes and I agree with as well is that prevention works, treatment is effective, and recovery is possible.
Wow, that's great. That's really great.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be an easy road, mm-hmm. right? But hope is really important. Mm-hmm. And so this belief for providers, a belief for family members, and a belief in people who are struggling with substance use issues, mm-hmm. is so important to keep that at the heart and know that recovery is possible for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think that social support aspect and family support, community support is really important, right? Because you're essentially treating the entire individual, and it's really, and that support is invaluable, I would imagine, to that process.
what we can't do alone, we can do together.
Mm-hmm. And talk to us a little bit about, we've heard about medication-assisted treatment. Some of us may know what that is, others don't or know some part of it. Can you tell us from your perspective?
Sure. Medication-assisted treatment, it refers to the use of medications to assist with substance use issues. So this is a large umbrella. It includes things like nicotine replacement therapy, like the patch or the gum, if somebody's struggling with tobacco use. For opiate use, there are several different medications which can help to treat. Methadone is a medication-assisted treatment that's been available for a long period of time. Patients who are on methadone go to specific programs, oftentimes many days a week at the beginning, with over the course of their treatment may go to that program less frequently. It's mm-hmm. a long-term treatment.
So it's designed to gradually diminish the amount of treatment medication that's needed until you get to zero? Is that the way it works?
Treatment. And this treatment is very individualized. Mm-hmm. So for, and not methadone specifically, but treatment for all substance use issues is a very individualized, individualized experience. Mm-hmm. For many patients, there may be a goal of not being on medication. Mm-hmm. And considering substance use as a chronic illness, there is a lot of evidence for medication-assisted treatments that the longer that somebody is on that medication, the more likely they are going to be successful and substance-free.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting, and we want to know a lot more about this, but right now we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. WMC Health, advancing care here.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. If you just joined us, our guest is Tom McCary. He's Director of Substance Use Prevention at the Institute for Family Health. Tom, before the break, we talked a little bit about medication-assisted treatment, and you talked about methadone. I know there are some others out there. Could you elaborate?
Sure. So methadone is definitely has been on being prescribed and used for substance use, opiate use treatment the longest. Newer medications include buprenorphine, many people know it as Suboxone, as well as long-acting naloxone, naltrexone, which is, the brand name is Vivitrol. It's an injection which is given once a month. Now, these medications, some of the benefits of these medications is that they can be prescribed and managed through other settings, such as an outpatient substance use treatment program, and also through the primary care setting.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of naloxone, we know it as Narcan in the community. It's used to essentially reverse overdoses. Is that correct? Can you tell us about that?
Correct. Naloxone, which one of the brand names is Narcan, mm-hmm. is an emergency medication which can be used to reverse someone who is having an overdose. It's a medication which has been used for several decades now, but is recently much, much more accessible and much more timely because of the prevalence of overdose deaths. So emergency providers like the police and the EMS all carry Narcan.
I do too.
Excellent.
I'm a trained Narcan administrator.
Here in New York State, we are particularly lucky that we actually everyone in New York State has a prescription, a standing order for Naloxone. So anyone in the state can go to a pharmacy and request this medication. Mm-hmm. And there's also many programs such as the Institute for Family Health who have who are an opiate overdose prevention program, which means we are provided free naloxone from New York State, which we give out as kits to our patients, family members, community and other provider trainings.
That's great. So the more people that out there that have it and it can administer it will decrease the likelihood of someone dying from an overdose.
Absolutely.
It's really terrific. And we really need that, folks. We really need that help out there. So, Tom, we talked a little bit before the show about transitions of care, and those are situations where somebody comes out of a treatment program where they were using some kind of substance, opioid or otherwise, and now they had to stop because they were in treatment or in jail or what have you. It's a very high risk time, right?
Right. So one of the biggest risk factors for overdose is decreased tolerance. So tolerance is the body's ability to sort of how much the body is used to a medication. So the longer that somebody's been using any kind of substance, the more the body is tolerant to that. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I used to have one cup of coffee and that I was all set for the whole day. And now I have a cup of coffee multiple times a day to have the same effect.
That'll be me.
We can all identify with that, right? So, and what happens when somebody has a dependence to opiates, their tolerance increases. So they're using more and more of the substance to have the same effect. Uh-huh. And what happens is even after a short period of time, the body's tolerance to opiates decreases significantly. So if somebody uses the same amount or even a lower amount than they were used to using in the past, it has a stronger effect on the body. And so decreased tolerance greatly increases the risk of an overdose. And so transitions of care often involve decreased tolerance. So if somebody has been in a treatment program, a residential treatment program, or an outpatient treatment program, or even in a detox at the hospital for several days, their tolerance has gone down. And so helping people during these transitions is a critical component to reducing risk of overdose.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of work being done at that juncture, right? Because that is such a high risk juncture when people can go back out onto the street or wherever and resume their prior usage, except now their bodies are no longer tolerant and it triggers perhaps a fatal overdose.
Absolutely. And this is, it is happening a lot, and it is also as we are improving systems, this is an area which is has particular interest. How do we help to ensure continuity of care?
Mm-hmm. And that population too. Well, I shouldn't make generalizations, but people who have substance use issues often have a lot of co-occurring challenges in life, right? So that aspect of following through and following up with care and treatment is a place where some people fall into the cracks.
Absolutely.
Right. And so what can an individual do, or maybe a family member, families that want to support an individual with challenges, what can they do to, like, practical steps could they take to help reduce the risk of overdose?
Sure. Well, you know, information is key. Right. So the more that we're informed, the better. And so places that resources that can be helpful, it includes SAMHSA's overdose prevention toolkit, which is geared for family, you know, the whole spectrum of people, from family members to providers, simple to use information, obtaining a Narcan kit or a naloxone kit is something I think that every concerned citizen should carry. They're accessible, again, you know, from pharmacies, talking to your primary care doctor, and through events. But anyone can pick that up at the pharmacy.
And some good news, Tom, on the, I may have mentioned this to you, but I know at our opioid prevention task force, which you're a member of, we talked about reducing the demand side of the equation, right? Because as we treat people, which we must do to avert the damage that could be done, we also have to think about young people coming into substance use, right? And reducing that the demand side of the equation drastically. And as we look at the surveys that have been done over the last 10 years, they're called the Youth Development Surveys, and that they're anonymous surveys of all 7th to 12th graders in Ulster County as to their substance use habits, perhaps, or their even their attitudes toward use. We see that the numbers for opioids, at least, are heading in the right direction, which is really, really promising.
And I think that speaks to some of the prevention efforts, things like the medication take back, right? So that's another thing that family members and community members can do, is that to not keep unused medications.
Right. Keep your medications locked while you have them and while you don't. And it's starting in January, every chain pharmacy in Ulster, throughout New York, will have a medication collection system at no charge to customers. So anyone can go back. And a number of local pharmacies have signed on voluntarily, which is really terrific, because over 50% of the drugs on our streets come from our own medicine cabinets. So that's really great. And, you know, the school-based, evidence-based programs are really terrific. Ulster Prevention Council is doing some great work in the schools, and parents should support that. The community should support that. Talk to your school administrators about it and really encourage and support those programs. So, Tom, if someone is experiencing substance use challenges, or they know someone who is, what advice do you have for them?
Is to that, again, coming back to it, treatment is effective, and recovery is accessible.
And possible.
Recovery is possible.
Right.
And so helping connect people to care, and really what we are hoping for within the health and behavioral health care settings is an attitude of no wrong door, which means it doesn't matter where somebody is asking for help, where this is identified, that whoever is that first door, whoever's meeting and working with a patient who's identified to have risk, even if it's not the right place where they're at, is to stick with that person and help them get to where they will be able to get the help.
And we have a great resource online, too. It's called ulsterhelps.org. It's a comprehensive online directory of all treatment and recovery services. We have an Ulster County family advocate. Her name is Carol Sutcliffe, and she's reachable at 845-458-7455. And Tom, how do people reach you?
Through the Institute for Family Health. The best way to reach me is here at the Kingston Family Health Center. It's 845-338-2562.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much for the important work that you and your colleagues do. It's really, really vital, and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.